The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace. Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack. Today, Andrew reveals how to stop struggling with sin and begin to realize God's love in his series, The War is Over. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. And today is my last day to teach on this series that I've entitled, The War is Over. Today is the end of our sixth week of teaching on this, and I tell you, it has been powerful. I believe that there have been a lot of people's lives changed through the teaching that we've done over these last 6 weeks. Let me mention again that today is going to be our last day to advertise these products. This is the brand new book I have out entitled, The War is Over. Here is that same book in Spanish. And we also have this teaching guide, which as you can see is a very thick book. And this is designed to help you teach Bible study, Sunday school class, things like that. We are just trying to get these truths out to as many people as we can. And today's going to be our last day to offer all of the materials, not only the printed materials, but the CDs, the DVDs. And we'll be making a special offer about that at the end of our program. So please listen and participate today because we won't be offering it after today. I have been concluding my teaching on The War is Over by saying that since I've taught that God loves us completely separate from our performance, it has nothing to do with us living holy and earning God's salvation. But rather, God sent His Son, put all of His wrath upon Jesus. Jesus, like a lightning rod, drew all of God's wrath, all of God's punishment, not only for your sins and my sins, but the sins of the whole world. Even people who will never accept Him have already had their sins paid for. And now it's just dependent upon what you do with Jesus. The only sin that's going to send a person to hell is the rejection of Jesus because your other sins were paid for. It all comes down to what are you doing with Jesus? And that is, in a nutshell, what I taught for the first 5 weeks of this series. Now, this week, what I've been doing is saying that people hear me say things like that and they respond by saying, so you're saying that actions don't count. No, there are consequences to our actions. It gives Satan an inroad into our life and stuff. But primarily, I've been teaching that if you truly encounter God by accepting Jesus, and if you really are born again, then change comes as a byproduct of relationship with God, not a way to relationship with God. Major, major, major difference. And I tell you, I think that this is the difference between true Christianity and religion. And I'm using religion in the sense of talking about something that isn't godly. It's just man's ideas about God, man's teaching, but it's not consistent with the Word of God. Religion will always emphasize what you have to do to be right with God. True Christianity will emphasize what God did to make you in right standing with Him. And the only thing you have to do is just either receive it or reject it. And that's major difference. And so I've been using this term spiritual dyslexia out of 1 John chapter 2. We've talked about a lot of things. Over in 1 John chapter 4, look at these verses. It says in verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Well, probably every person watching this program wants to be loved of God. And so what do we have to do? Look back at these verses. It says, "Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Well, I want to know God, so what do I have to do? A person with religious dyslexia will say, well, man, what I've got to do, I've got to start loving other people and then I will know God. Nope, that's seeing it backwards. What you've got to do is know God and then you will love other people. Loving other people doesn't guarantee that you know God, but knowing God will guarantee that you begin to love other people. Major difference. In verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Well, none of us want to be accused of not knowing God. So what do I have to do? Well, I got to start loving people. No, this isn't saying that. This is saying that loving God will cause you to love people. And here's how you can tell if you love people. It's by the way you treat other people. It's the way you can tell if you love God is by the way you treat other people. Major difference there. In verse 12, it says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. Well, everybody will read that and say, well, I want God to love in me. I want God to dwell in me. So what do I have to do? And they will go back and say, well, man, I have to love other people. And so they will start trying to love other people in order to obtain God's love. But I've already made this point this week. You can't give away what you don't have. You can't love other people with God's kind of love, where you turn the other cheek, to where you in sincerity lay your life down and sacrifice yourself for another person. You can't do that if you haven't, first of all, received that love. So it's not loving other people with this God kind of love that causes God to love you. No, it's receiving God's kind of love through the mercy and the grace offered unto us, not by debt in payment for our performance, but it's receiving this love of God. And when that touches your heart, you will love other people as a byproduct. That's what that's saying. In verse 13, it says, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And anyway, all of these verses are basically playing off the same thing that I've already said this week. And that is that men look on the outward appearance, try and clean you up on the outside and think if you'll just act right, if you'll dress the way they tell you, if you go to their church, if you follow their rules, then you're going to be all right. But no, it's just the opposite. If you will get your heart changed, then you will change outwardly. But religion again, you know, 1 Samuel 16:7, I've used that verse a number of times this week. It says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. When you're in religion, something that is controlled by man, it'll always deal with the external. And I've actually been in religious churches before where people were dressed nice. They came to church. They had on a nice suit and tie or a nice dress, and they gave in the offering, and they knew when to lift their hands and say, praise God. And yet during the week, they were alcoholics. They were whoremongers. And yet I've actually heard the pastor say that, you know what, I can't control what they do out here, but as long as they come and as long as they're doing this, that is religious. In other words, as long as it looks good, as long as they will pay their tithes, as long as they'll do these things, who cares what goes on behind closed doors? God does. God looks on your heart. Jesus said, you make clean the outside of the cup and platter. This is out of Matthew chapter 23 when he was rebuking the scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites. He says, you clean the outside of the cup and platter, but on the inside there's all of this corruption. He says, you fool, clean that which is inside first, and then the outside will be clean. And this is the way that God wants to deal with you and with me and with all of us. He wants us to recognize that the war is over. He's placed all of his wrath, his judgment, his justice against your sin upon Jesus. And then if you accept Jesus as your Savior, you become born again. You enter into a relationship with God to where you experience God's love personally. It becomes real. And then you change outwardly as a byproduct of this relationship. You don't try and act a certain way in order to obtain relationship, but your actions are the byproduct, the outgrowth, the fruit of a relationship with God. Major difference. You know, let me go again into my personal testimony. Yesterday at the close of the program, I started saying some of these things and I ran out of time. But I got born again when I was 8 years old. Genuine change. I was made fun of the next day in school for being a Christian. It was an evident change. And I changed to a degree. But then I went to church and I came under this religious teaching that you had to do all of these things. And the reason God hadn't answered your prayers, the reason God you didn't feel more love is because you weren't holy enough. And I was taught that you had to perform and do all of these things in order to have God love you. So I began to start following all of the rules. And I mean, I was holier than most of you have ever thought about being. I've never said a word of profanity. I've never taken a drink of liquor. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never tasted coffee. I am Mr. Righteous based on my actions. And I know, you know, I'm saying those are true statements that I've never done this, but I'm not bragging on this. I'm just saying that in relation to the standards put forth by people, I was living a holy life. But then on March the 23rd, 1968, God showed me I was a religious hypocrite, that I was, even though I'd been born again, I had slipped back in to trying to earn God's blessing and favor by my goodness. And even though I performed better than most people, God showed me His standard of perfection. Supernaturally, I just had my eyes opened up and I saw what true holiness was. And I saw that I was a miserable wretch in comparison to God's true standard. And I repented of it. And to my surprise, this is what changed my life. After I repented, and I fully expected God to kill me, because I thought when I saw how ungodly I was and how religious and how hypocritical I was, I thought that was the first time God had seen it. And I expected God to kill me based on the theology that I was taught that God loves you based on your performance. And when I finally realized that my performance was pitiful, I expected God to kill me. But instead of killing me, I began to experience a love from God that I had always been trying to earn. And it was wonderful. For 4.5 months, I was just gone someplace. I was caught up in the presence of God. I've never gotten over it, never planned on getting over it. But it ruined my theology because instead of me earning it, it was when I finally gave up, ran up the white flag and said, God, I can't earn it. Oh, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And that's when I experienced this love of God that I'd been trying to earn. Not when I earned it, but when I quit trying to earn it and just threw myself on the mercy of God. And it took me a long time to begin to start understanding some of these things. But here's a point I wanted to make by all of that. See, when I teach on the mercy of God and when I just received right standing with God totally as a gift, not based on anything that I've done to earn it, I quit. You know, prior to that time, I had started a youth visitation night. I went to the adult visitation on Thursday nights and made 3 or 4 visits every week. Then I started a youth visitation. And you've got to understand that I was an introvert. I couldn't look at a person in the face and talk to them. I was a functional introvert. I wasn't like some people that I've seen. I wasn't that bad, but I mean, this is how I was. I remember walking down the street, a senior in high school, and a man said good morning to me. And he was 2 blocks down the street, gone before I got out. Good morning. I just couldn't talk to strangers. I couldn't talk to people. I was fearful that I'd do something stupid. I was an introvert. And yet, with all of that, I psyched myself up, forced myself to start a special youth night visitation. I taught classes on how to lead people to the Lord. And I went through all of these things. And so I was doing this prior to my real revelation of God's love for me. But you know what? It was just enough to give me a little pat on the back, and my heart wasn't really into it. I would have to psych myself up. I mean, I'd get in front of a mirror and start talking to myself or do whatever to overcome this introvert, being an introvert. And then I'd go and I'd teach the classes and I'd take people out witnessing. But when we knocked on doors, you know what I was praying in my heart? I was actually praying, God, don't let there be anybody home. Because I was so introverted, I didn't like talking to people like this. It was awkward. I didn't want somebody to criticize me. And I got credit, whether they were home or not. I got the little pat on the back. I got men's approval, and I felt like I had done something that had made me better, whether anybody got ministered to or not. So I was praying, God, don't let there be anybody home. And then if they were home and answered the door, I'd say, oh, God, don't let them ask me any questions. I wasn't really concerned about ministering to them. I just wanted to get my spiel done. And if you do it correctly, the way I was taught it, you can reach a place where you say, now, is there any reason that you can't pray this prayer after me? And you know what? There's very few people that are just bold enough that will say, yes, let me go to hell. I don't want to pray this prayer after you. There's very few people that will do that. And so, you know what? I could get people to repeat after me, and I'd take their scalp and go to church and say, I led 3 people this week to the Lord. And I'd get a pat on the back, and everybody would, praise me, and I was getting my ego stroked, and I thought, surely this is going to impress God. And I was doing all of those things. But you know what happened after I had this experience? March the 23rd, 1968, and God's love came into me. I didn't care whether anybody knew what I was doing or not. Prior to that time, I would take every visit I made, whether they were home or not at home, and I would record it, and I would turn it in and make sure I got credit for it, and somebody recognized me. After this, I quit filling out any reports. I quit doing all those things. I actually quit the Thursday and the Tuesday night visitation classes. And somebody might say, well, see, you didn't act as holy. No, what the deal was, I realized I was making 6 visits a week and letting hundreds of people I met during the day go to hell, and I wasn't talking to them. And so instead of doing the 6 visits, I started talking to everything that moved. I actually at one time made a promise to God I'd never see a person that I didn't talk to them about the Lord. And my heart was right, but you know, I remember standing in attention after I was drafted and seeing thousands of soldiers march by me, and I couldn't talk to any of them. And I had to say, God, forgive me. That was a stupid commitment. But I tried it, and I started witnessing to everything that moved. I mean, I was talking to 100 people a day. I was knocking on doors. And after I had experienced God's love, see, my motivation changed. I was now talking to people because I loved God, and His love was flowing through me to other people. And I love people. I was enjoying it. I literally lost my being an introvert because I forgot about myself, and I fell more in love with other people than I was myself. And prior to my experience, when I was doing it, trying to impress God and earn His favor, I did as little as I could possibly do and still obtain that little pat on the back and soothe my conscience. But after I fell in love with God, man, I started doing 10 times, 100 times as much ministry to other people, and my whole motive changed. Prior to that experience, I would knock on the door and say, oh God, don't let there be anybody home. But did you know after that, I started coming up with gimmicks to get me to get into people and let them talk to me because people were shutting the door in my face. And I was praying, oh God, don't send me to the houses where there's nobody home. Help me to just go to where there's people at home, somebody I could talk to. There was a total transformation just because I had experienced God's love. Instead of doing these things trying to get God to love me, now I was doing them because God already loved me and I was excited and wanting to share it with other people. And I remember that one day I was out knocking on doors, and I'd had a couple of people just slam the door in my face as soon as they found out that I wanted to talk to them about the Lord. And so I was determined I was going to minister to this next person. I didn't care what I had to do. And I said, oh God, give me some creative idea. And I knocked on the door, and the person opened the door about this wide, had a chain on their door. And it was a woman, and she was afraid of a young guy standing out on her front porch, and she didn't want to open the door. So she was just looking through that little crack, and she says, what do you want? And I said, praise God, you're a Christian. And this woman says, what makes you think I'm a Christian? Now, see, this was good because all of the other people were trying to convince me they were Christians. Here I was in a situation where the woman was not even proclaiming that she was a Christian. I had an open door. And I said, well, you got this scripture written out here on your fence. And this woman says, scripture? Boy, she opened the door and undid that chain, walked out on the porch, and she says, where's a scripture on my fence? And I turned over to Philippians chapter 3, verse 2, that says, beware of dogs. And I just kept reading that entire chapter. I was able to read all of Philippians chapter 3 to her before this woman recovered and shut the door in my face. But I'm using that to illustrate. Can you see the difference? Before, I had the love of God in my heart, and I was doing the right thing. I was trying to share with other people, but I was doing it in order to obtain God's love. But once, and at the time I was doing that, I was saying, oh God, don't let there be anybody home, because I was thinking more about me and introverted. But you know what? After I had this experience, I forgot me. I wasn't getting credit for it. I was praying and even coming up with things where if they had a sign on their fence, beware of dogs, I would use that to be able to get an inroad to talk to these people. And brothers and sisters, this is what I believe needs to happen in most people's lives who are watching this. Many of you are doing some of the right things. You're going to church. You're trying to live a good life. You're trying to study the Word and pray. But if your motive for doing those things is to get God to love you, to earn His favor, so that you can get a prayer answered, you cash in your goodness that you've done over here for one answered prayer, then your motive is totally wrong, and you won't receive anything from God with that kind of an attitude. What you've got to do is take the things we've been talking about for the last 6 weeks, that God placed all of His wrath upon Jesus, and He punished Him. Your sins, even the ones that you haven't committed yet, have all been taken care of. God's wrath has been satisfied. It was poured out on Jesus 100%. There is no anger left in God for you. He is extending love towards you. And so you need to just come to God based solely on what Jesus did for you and accept it by faith. And divorce yourself from your actions so that you aren't trusting in any of your goodness or you aren't letting any of your badness keep you from God. Think that God's turning away because you aren't good enough. You need to get rid of that mindset. And when you do that and establish a direct love relationship with God through Jesus, then that love is going to so change your life that you will serve God more accidentally than you ever have on purpose before. I can promise you that. And you will start living a holy life as a byproduct of a relationship with God. And I think it's important to say these things because, again, when I talk about God loving us unconditionally and it not being based on our actions, people think I'm saying that you can go live in sin. I'm saying that God loves you even if you live in sin, but there are consequences. Satan is going to come in and take advantage of you if you live in sin. But also, if you truly experience God's love, it will cause you to start living a holy life. And you can tell whether or not you are just religious or whether you are genuinely in relationship with God based on how your life is going. Man, those are strong statements. But that's what the book of John is talking about. That's what I've been talking about this week. That's what I've been on for the last 6 weeks, talking about the war is over. And I want to encourage you once again that you need to get these materials. I believe that this teaching is some of the most radical statements that God has ever shown me, things that have changed my life. And I can promise you that if this doesn't light your fire, your wood is wet. Amen. And this will help dry you out and get you to where you can catch on fire for God. So today's my last day to make these materials. I've got the brand new books available, the study guide, all of the DVDs, CDs. Please listen as our announcer gives you that information. And please call or write and receive these materials today. And then join me again next week as we continue the gospel truth.
The War is Over is available for the very first time in book form. In 190 power-packed pages, Andrew reveals how to stop struggling with sin and begin to realize God's unconditional love. This new book can be ordered through bookstores nationwide, or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T326 when you write or call, or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. The War is Over Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request Study Guide T426 when you contact the ministry. This teaching is also available in a 5-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1053C or DVD album T1053D. The fifth teaching in the audio CD album titled Seeing It Backwards is also available. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD free of charge. Request teaching number TK132 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Let me emphasize once again that today is our last day to make my brand new book on The War Is Over available in either Spanish or in English. And then I have this study guide that is over 300 pages where you can teach this in a Bible study or Sunday school class. We also have DVDs, CDs of this teaching available. And I tell you, this teaching is life transforming. I promise you that if you get these materials and study them and listen to it, and if this doesn't change your life, then I just don't see how that could happen. I can just guarantee this will change your life if you get these materials. So please call or write today.
Our web address is www.awmi.net. Our mailing address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80934. Or you can call our helpline at 719-635-1111. Remember, you can use your credit card with the helpline or the website. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries of Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. The ministry of Andrew Womack is supported entirely by friends and partners. Whether or not you order today's teaching materials, we want you to know your donations are a vital part of this ministry. We hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me on January the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts. The normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our Phoenix, Arizona Gospel Truth Seminar, January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be at the Arizona Biltmore Resort in Phoenix for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 1st through the 3rd and in Colorado Springs for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance February 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Houston, Texas February 12th through the 14th, Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th, and in Colorado Springs for the Charis Bible College weekend, March 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Join us again next Monday for The Gospel Truth.